Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
How do you wait on the Lord? How can I speed up this process? Please hear me. Reestablish morning devotions. Begin to praise Him throughout the day. Why? He is teaching you, He is teaching me how to fly. He wants to take us to a new place. I absolutely guarantee you today that if you wait on the Lord like this, you will soar a whole lot quicker than if you spend your time squawking and complaining, blaming the sticks.
Are you waiting on the Lord, or are you complaining to Him? In today's message from Pastor Michael, he teaches you that you'll get to where you want to be faster if you'd wait upon the Lord. Waiting and trusting God to move you when He sees as time is much better than being stressed out and angry with Him. That's not going to get you anywhere faster. Pastor Michael encourages you to instead trust that God has a good plan for your life. He's going to get you to where you need in order to be able to soar. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 as he continues his message, Soar.
Friends, he says, don't be surprised at what's about to go down. Man, don't do it. Yeah, you're being tested, but rejoice. This is the same kind of thing that happened to the prophets before you, we read. It's the same kind of thing that happens to your Jesus, your Messiah, your love of your life, the same thing. Don't be surprised, man. You know, during times like we're in right now in our country, weekends like this where we're celebrating our country, we see a lot of pictures of eagles. I was walking down the street and some guy had kind of like the picture here up in the top right corner, this big honking huge mama eagle, you know, with a flag on it, man. You see something like that, you just want to salute, you know, the guy, and he's got a big huge beer belly and you just fell in love with him. Anyway, I see eagles all over the place, television commercials, magazines, billboards, and things like that. Pretty awesome. Eagles, I was researching them a little bit. Do you know the eagles, they're not, I kind of thought that the bald eagle or whatever, just eagles were only in America. Eagles can be found on every continent in the world with the exception of one, Antarctica. Eagles can fly higher than any other bird. They can go higher. And unlike any other animal in the animal kingdom, I think this is so cool. God has made eagles so that they can stare literally at the sun and not lose their sight. God has given them built-in sunglasses or whatever so that they can look at the sun, they can soar high, and then they can go down and they can spot something to eat really, really small, and they, boom, they swoop down and grab that thing. It's pretty cool. America chose the eagle to be our symbol, which is very interesting, but we're not the first ones to have done that. I was researching that in the Tsarist days of Russia, the eagle was their symbol as well. And in Bible times, Caesar Nero and the Roman Emperor, their stamp, their shields, and their symbol was the eagle, which is really interesting to me. Do you know that that eagle has a wingspan of 10 feet? I saw. Very interesting. But once a year, the mama will lay her egg in this nest, and she'll put her nest way up at the top of a cliff or at the top of a bluff or whatever that's above a ravine or something. And she does that so that no predator animals or anything can get to her eggs. And so she does that. And when the babies are finally hatched, they go about 5 or 6 weeks. And it's really, really interesting because in those 5 or 6 weeks, dude, these baby eaglets, they're called, have it made in the shade. I mean, they got it going on. Mama literally feeds them on the hour. They just sit there and get fed. And as they're getting fed, they get fatter and fatter and plumper and bigger and bigger. It's really, really awesome as they're growing in those first 5 or 6 weeks. By week 5, the little eaglet, I'm going to call him Ernie. Ernie Eaglet grows so plump that he begins to notice something that's happening. Because unbeknownst to him, little Ernie Eaglet didn't know that his mother designed the nest in a very specific way. She designed it so that the sticks point inward. Now, this is interesting amongst all birds, okay? The eagle's nest, the sticks, but the pointy parts point inwards. So here's the deal. As little Ernie gets fat, he begins to experience poking and agitating, and he's very unhappy. And no doubt, little Ernie Eaglet wonders to himself, what in the world was my mom thinking when she created this nest? This is absolutely not comfortable, Mom. You could have done better, okay? But he never realizes that the design of the nest was all part of a plan to get him out of the nest, to get him doing something that he never thought he'd be able to do, to get him to fly. I do think the same thing can happen to us. Hey, we can get comfy, we can get cozy, we can get chubby. But all of a sudden, something will begin to happen in our lives, something that I believe the Lord allows to agitate us. Something will begin to poke us, and the Lord allows it, gang. Whatever it might be. You know, my boss shouldn't be treating me that way. Or my friend shouldn't be ignoring me in the way that she's ignoring me or whatever. We squawk and we squeal. You know, my finances shouldn't be as hard as things are supposed to be. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of God, and how come things are so stinking hard? I hear things like this a lot, and I know you do too, and sometimes they come out of my own mouth. But here's the encouragement, gang. You gotta wait a minute, because it just might be that God is up to something in our lives. It just might be that there's this divine design, there's this master grand plan that God's up to. And so let me tell you something. It is the wise woman and it is the wise man who doesn't blame the sticks, but instead realizes that God is teaching us to fly. He wants us to soar. He doesn't want us to be perched on the side of a cliff, a life of mediocrity our whole life. He has bigger plans for us, dude. He wants us to soar. Amen? Now, what happens in the eagle's life, little Ernie Eaglet? About the time he's getting really uncomfortable, the sticks are poking him, and he's just getting fatter and fatter. Literally, Mom feeds him once an hour. Mom comes up with her 10-foot wingspan. She swoops down to the nest, and she stirs it up, and she gives it a bump. And little Ernie Eaglet falls out. And he begins to fall hundreds and hundreds of feet. Feathers are flying. He's squeaking. He's squawking. He's upset. He's scary. The rocks are getting closer and closer and closer. Imminent death. He knows he's going to die. And right at the last second before he dies, Mama Eagle swoops down and picks him up on her wings, on her back, and carries him safely back up and deposits him in the nest. Isn't that awesome? Now, Ernie Eaglet's up there, and he's freaking out. His heart's, right? He's like, whoa! That was intense, man. Mom, why don't you try not being so clumsy? Like, I hope you learned your lesson, Mom. I hope you're not so clumsy. Good night. So about 2 or 3 days goes by, literally. 2 or 3 days goes by, and Mama comes by again. 10-foot wingspan, bumps the nest again. Ernie falls out. Feathers flying, he's squawking, he's screaming. At the last minute, as the rocks just about to die, Mama swoops down, picks him up on her back again, carries him up to safety. Gang, this happens again and again, over and over and over. About the eighth time that this happens, it's very, very interesting. As he's falling, he's ridden back up now on the back of Mama. He's felt her wings go up. He's felt this. About the seventh, eighth time, he puts his wings out and he catches air and he begins to fly. And all of a sudden, little Ernie Eaglet, he ain't mad at Mama anymore. He's not sore at her. He's soaring next to her in the sky. Listen, gang, when we say, God, what are you doing in my life? It doesn't make any sense. If I'm your child, and if you love me, I hear it all the time at church, and we sing it in songs, and I hear it on K-Love, how much you love me. If you love me all that much, then why are you letting the rocks come my way? Gang, I'm telling you, I just want to encourage you tonight. God will always swoop down. Sometimes it is the last minute. He's been called the God of the 11th hour, and I found him to be that way. I don't know if you have. Like, Lord, have you completely forgotten me? I'm about to crash. Here it goes. I'm done. He sweeps up and he takes me and he delivers me in the nest. And I get about 2 or 3 days rest. It's awesome. I catch my breath. And then God bumps the nest again. And it happens again and again, over and over. You know, maybe you're listening to me right now or you're here and you sort of feel that you're free falling. You know, you're sort of in this season of life right now where it just seems like things are really, really hard and you're squawking a little bit. I want to encourage you, man, you're not going to hit the bottom. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, dude, I want to tell you, you will not hit the bottom. It may look like you're going to, but keep your hope and your trust in the Lord. He will not let you fall. He won't. It'll be scary, but he's trying to accomplish something in your life, and he's trying to accomplish something in my life. He'll keep doing it. He'll keep doing it until we get the message that we were made for more than a mediocre life on some cliff. Until we get the message that you and I have been created to soar. You and I have been created to do something great for the Master. He wants to teach you to fly. Now, if all that's true, and I really do believe it is, but if all that's true, and God's just going to keep turning the nest over and letting me fall and then swooping down and letting me go through this stuff because he wants to teach me to fly, my question is this. My question is, how long, Lord? Like, seriously, how long? Like, can we just get the lesson? Can I just start flying now? I'll do it. Like, what do I need to do? Like, just tell me where to sign. I'm on it. I just want to learn to fly. I'm done with your little testing. I'm done with all this. Can you just teach me how to get to the end result? Because I do want to fly. How long does it take? Can I speed up this process? The answer to that question is this. Yes, you can. You can speed up the process. Well, how do you speed up the process, Michael? Thank you for asking. So glad. I know you were thinking that. Here it is. I'll bet you've never heard this verse before. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait on the Lord renew their strength. They will mount up with wings, or they'll soar with wings or on wings as eagles do. And they'll run. They won't get tired. They'll do this walk of faith and they will not drop out and faint. Amen. Here's the key, gang. How do we speed up the process? We wait on the Lord. The way you're going to learn to fly is if you learn to wait on the Lord. But I'm about to hit the rocks, Michael. I'm about to hit the rocks. I know. Here's the answer. Wait. Yeah, but you don't know my situation. You don't know what's going on in my life, Pastor Boy. I mean, come on. You don't understand. I know, but the answer is the same. Wait on the Lord. I promise you. Wait on the Lord. Yeah, but you don't realize how serious this is. You don't realize how sad my situation is. You don't realize the pain and the problems that I'm dealing with. I know the answer for all of that. Wait on the Lord. Listen, I don't know about you. I've grown up in the church. I've been in the church for quite a few years, and I've heard probably 50 sermons on waiting on the Lord. I really have. But I'm going to share something maybe you've never heard before. And if you have, pretend like you haven't. It'll make me feel better. Waiting on the Lord, gang. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. We've heard it. I used to sing a song. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their... Anybody remember that song? Just used to sing scripture. Okay? We've heard it a million times. What the heck does it mean? Wait on the Lord. Okay, so I got to wait. I'm just supposed to wait. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. Waiting on the Lord does not mean passively sitting on your rear doing nothing. I really think waiting on the Lord means doing, you ready? I think it means doing what a waiter in an upscale restaurant would do. Think about when you're in a really nice restaurant, what's the waiter do? Coming by all the time. Hi, can I fill your water? Hi, is everything okay? Are you doing good? Can I get you some steak sauce? What kind of steak sauce would you like? Oh, okay. Would you like more coffee? What can I get you? Can I do that? They're just right there all the time. They're waiting on the person. Does that make sense? Like, what if wait on the Lord literally means wait on him like a waiter or a waitress? Like, serve the Lord. Obey the Lord. Worship the Lord. I think that's what it means. Enough about me. Enough about my problems. I'm here, God, to serve you. I'm here to honor you with my life. I'm here to give you thanksgiving. I'm here to worship you and to literally live my life in adoration of you. That's why I'm here. I'm waiting on you. And as I worship you, as I give thanks to you, in all things, by the way, the Bible says, right? We're to pray without ceasing. You ever think about that one? Oh, I know you've heard it before.
Yeah, I've heard it before.
In one ear, out the other ear. Yeah, we're supposed to give thanks in all things. Yeah, I've heard that one too. Yeah, but do you do it? Do you pray all the time? Do you worship God at all the time? I'm like, all the time. Man, when you do that, when you're waiting on the Lord, God, what can I do for you? What can I get for you? More steak sauce? You got it. Wait on the Lord. Reestablish your morning devotions. It would be embarrassing in most churches today if you asked people to raise their hands if they have a morning time with the Lord. It'd be embarrassing. How do you wait on the Lord? How can I speed up this process? Please hear me. Reestablish morning devotions. Begin to praise him throughout the day. Why? He is teaching you, he is teaching me how to fly. He wants to take us to a new place. I absolutely guarantee you today that if you wait on the Lord like this, you will soar a whole lot quicker than if you spend your time squawking and complaining, blaming the sticks, whatever they are in your life. I'm telling you, I believe this so strongly that if we would become people that begin to praise even in the midst of hard times, if we would become people who just lift up God and say, God, thank you for everything I enjoy in the midst of suffering, we would learn to fly way, way quicker. You know, there's an Old Testament scripture back in the book of Deuteronomy. Probably a lot of us were just reading this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Listen to this. Verse 11 says, he watches over, this is talking about God. He watches over his nest like an eagle, and he hovers over his young. He spreads his wings, and he catches him, and he carries him on his feathers. The Lord alone led him with no help from a foreign God. These verses are talking about the love of the Father for his people. And he's using an illustration like I used earlier of an eagle. The Moses is the writer here. The Holy Spirit's inspiring him. But the Moses is writing here, and he's using an eagle and how a mother swoops down, how she carries her young, just like the story I just told you, as an example, as an illustration of how much God loves you. But look at the last part of that verse. We'll put it back up here. Verse 12, the Lord alone led him with no help from a foreign God. Very interesting. The person that's soaring with the Lord, the person who is accomplishing more than a mediocre life, sitting up in the nest, accomplishing nothing, just growing fat and chubby and comfortable. The person who is flying and doing the things that God created them for is the person, as that verse says, who's the Lord alone leads them. Now, we know in these days there was all kinds of people groups that were serving other gods and worshiping idols and stupid foreign gods. And the writer here is saying the one who God swoops down, who's teaching to fly, is the one who the Lord alone leads them. They aren't following foreign gods. When you and I are flying with the Lord, when we are soaring, sold out and radical for Jesus Christ, the foreign gods, the things of this world. Remember the song? And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Remember that? Anybody? A couple people. I see you nodding your head. The foreign gods become strangely dim. Think about that. The things, what are the foreign gods? Today we don't worship idols and have little carvings that we have in our house set up and we just worship. We don't do those things. But there's so many other things that I pour my energy into, that I give my money to, that I give my time to. Things that in a sense, if you understand what the definition of worship is just adoring something. How many things do I adore in my life that have nothing to do with Jesus? How many things do I pour my energy and my time into that aren't the Lord? The one who soars, gang, is the one who has put away the foreign gods. The things of this earth have grown strangely dim. They become unimportant. They become, ready for this, unappealing. They become unappealing to us. Do you know how when people are going through really tough times, many times you will find they lose weight? I don't know if you knew that or not. But doctors have looked into this. When your people are stressed out and they're going through, maybe they lose a loved one or there's some really yucky thing going down in their life, they begin to lose weight. You know why? Because they don't want to eat. The flesh takes second place in their life. Does that make sense? Because they're going through hard times. I think that there's a spiritual lesson there too. When we go through hard times, our flesh, we can choose to go pork out and flesh out and sin and walk away from God, or in the hard times, we can choose to hunker down and say, you know what? The things of earth, this is gonna grow. My foreign gods, the things that are so attractive to me, they're not attractive to me anymore. I don't wanna feed on those things anymore. Does that make sense? Like, I believe God literally has put that within us, that we recognize it. And I think Peter is writing to these people in this letter, and he's like, guys, when I say things are getting tough, I'm not joking. Like, it's really gonna get tough for you as followers of Jesus Christ. But listen to these words, right? Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice. Rejoice, that word rejoice, gang, it's the root of it is worship. Find joy and adoration, not in the gods of this world, but in Jesus Christ and Him alone. If you'll do that, man, you're gonna find, he says, you're gonna share in the sufferings of Christ for sure, but then you're gonna rejoice with great joy when His glory is revealed. That is, when this life is over and Jesus comes back and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, which is going to happen, dude. And on that day, the people who have been flying with Him, the people who've been sold out and radical, this isn't just a little religion and a thing we play on the weekend, dude. This is everything to us. Those are the ones who are living life as God has intended for us to live. We are soaring like eagles. How do I do it? Wait on God. Rejoice. Wait on Him. Adore Him. Be thankful throughout your day. Thank you that I have food in my belly. Thank you that I have clothes on my back. Thank you that I have a roof over my head. Thank you that I have a church to attend. Thank you that there are others who are as crazy as me and believe in this invisible God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I adore You. No foreign gods for me. I adore You and I will rejoice in You. When times are tough, gang, and we're not dealing with any of us being burned at the stake, although it's hot enough in this room right now, that I almost feel like I'm being martyred. But when times get tough, may you and I be those who praise the name of Jesus, amen? Even in the hard times, man, we praise Him, we worship Him, we adore Him, we give thanks to Him, we rejoice. And let me tell you something, if you're a person like that, you're radical, you're weird. You are a radical. I had someone at this church when I first got here, and they told me, I don't like it when you use the word radical for Christians because radicals are people that go against the government, and I just have a whole other picture in my mind. And I said, I'm so sorry, you know, that you're wrong. I don't care who you got to go against, man. These people Peter's writing to, they were radical, and they were going against the government. And I'm not trying to say we should go against the government, but let me just say this. Regardless of what anybody else is doing in our culture, I double dog dare you to be sold out and radical, to find out what God has called you and put you on this planet for. Stop settling for being a mediocre person up in the nest and you're complaining about the poking. Yeah, the poking is there for a reason. God's trying to push you out. He wants to do something awesome in and through your life.
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage of 1 Peter that Pastor Michael discussed and use it to fuel your own conversations with the Lord. There's so much to learn from this New Testament book, and we're so glad you've chosen to study it with us. Maybe today as you were listening, you realized there's something missing, some piece of this life that doesn't really fit. Maybe it's time to learn more about Jesus and how He can radically transform your life. If that sounds like you, then take a moment right now to visit our website, thealpinechapel.com. Under the menu, you'll find a page called Something Missing, and it's going to fill in that gap. You'll find out all about who Jesus is and what his plans are for you and why you need him so much. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. Would you let us know, too? We'd love the chance to talk with you more and answer any questions you may still have. Just head to the contact page at our website and send us a quick email. We also want to encourage you to get involved in a Bible-teaching church in your area. If your area happens to be Telluride, why not come join us this weekend at the Alpine Chapel? We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m., and we're easy to find. Visit thealpinechapel.com for directions. Be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts. That officially brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for tuning in to Burning Hearts.